thank you so much, Jackie and Jolynn. That's going to make it in a hymn book one of these days, I think. That is good. Very, very good. Praise the Lord for that. I love it. Well, what a blessing to have Tom Denius with us. Of course, we all know Tom is a member here at Berean, and God called him to the mission field. He and his wife to Namibia, and doing a great work there. I like Tom's zeal. He is excited. I like people to be excited. I don't know that I've ever seen him frown, other than when he's arguing with Larry. And but that's all good nature, and they're just having fun. But he's just the guy that is excited to do something for God, and I appreciate him. And he's going to come preach to us, Brother Denius. You come.
You love Jesus, say amen. Amen. Just a minute, I got to turn myself on. Larry, be quiet. Now, can you hear me?
No.
No, you can't hear me.
I can hear you fine.
You can hear me fine. Okay, amen. If you have your, I just want to thank you again. By the way, I do bring greetings from Bible Baptist Church in Namibia. By the way, they know you. I've told them all about Berean. It's a great soul-winning church. Amen.
Amen.
And I says, I've learned a lot why I've been at Berean, and I says, they love you, and I says, I know you don't understand it, but there's many, many churches, but especially this church is a great church, amen. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And some of you weren't here Wednesday night. I'm just going to briefly bring them up to date. The work is hard. I won't deny that. I promised you 12 years ago, I says, when I go over there, it's W-O-R-K. Work. It's not easy, and I knew it wasn't going to be easy. Many obstacles. I said we've been there now 12 years. We're just now getting the people to respond to us more now. Amen. It takes time. I know a lot of fields are different, but this field was quite different because they've seen a lot of missionaries come and go and take them for their money. That's a shame. It's a shame. I remember the first time I was there out soul winning. This is true. The first time I was out there soul winning. A young man said, he come out, and as I got him, I led him to the Lord. And as I led him to the Lord, he said, Pastor, he said, where were you 6 months ago? I says, why, son, why? He says, my mother and dad died, and they needed to hear this. I mean, I says, but I'm here now. And he said, thank God that you came. That's when you know when God brings you and tells you where to go. Don't be afraid to step out, amen? And because of it, over those 12 years, we've seen over 4,000 people come to know Christ. That's what we have up to date. But there's been hundreds of thousands of tracts have been passed out. A lot of people say, does those work? Yes, they do. I'll give you one example, and then I'll be done, and then we'll get into the message. I was passing out one day to a lady at a grocery store that I was in, and I just said, you need to read that when you get a chance. She said, I sure will. And it was like 3 weeks to a month later, I was at the same grocery store again, coming up to the teller. I'd totally forgotten that I'd given her one, and she said, you're the one. You know, of course, over there they have military guards. I didn't do it. I mean, it just scared me. She says, you're the one. No, he's okay. You're the one that gave me that track. Amen. And I went home and read it. It changed my life 100%.
Amen.
Don't tell me tracks don't work. I don't know how many. Really, I say 4,000. That's what I know of. But I believe there's many, many more than that.
Amen.
Don't give up. Keep going for the Lord. Amen. And our plan, we just bought land. Amen. You have no idea. 6 years it took us to get through the bureaucracy and having people say no, no, no. And God says, yes, yes, yes.
Amen.
God says, I give it to you. And he did.
Amen.
If there's any missionaries here or anybody that's going to the mission field, don't give up. Don't give up.
Amen.
Keep going. It's not easy, but keep going. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I tell you, we're excited, and we've already got the plans drawn up. We're just waiting on the Lord when the money comes in. Amen. And I'm waiting on the Lord. Amen. I'm waiting on the Lord. He's the one that's going to give it to me. It's impossible for me. It's impossible for Tom tonight, but it's not possible for my Heavenly Father. Amen. And I'll tell you what, he can do it.
Amen.
It's time and he's ready. I have 5 years to build on that thing, so I'm okay. I'm okay. And you keep praying for the Denias family and for Bible Baptist Church. They love you, and they're praying for me. They're praying for you. They're praying for you. Berean Baptist Church, they're praying for you. They know your name. I hope someday I can bring one of them back with me and have them share a testimony of what you've done to some of their lives. Amen. So, again, just pray for us. Amen.
Amen.
And please do. The work is hard. The devil's fighting. When I always know this. When the devil's fighting the hardest, victory's around the corner. And if he's not fighting, then you ain't doing anything. It's the truth. It's the truth. He's always constantly fighting me tooth and nail. And you know, and I just can't say enough about God. God just takes over. And I just say, Lord, what do I do? And God says, I'll take care of it, my son. Just let me take care of it. I said, yes, sir. And I let him do it. And when you leave it in God's hands, it's far better than you trying to mess it all up. Amen, Pastor? Oh, how many times? Yeah, okay. If you have your Bibles, turn into Psalms chapter 5. Psalms chapter 5 with me, please. TLZ. Oh. TLZ. I'll let you find that one out, Larry. Do you know what that version is, Pastor? I have no idea.
Larry Wood.
Yeah, Larry Wood. He'd be the only one to know. You know, we have fun. Larry and I have fun, but we love each other. Amen, Larry.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, you're not so sure. I want you to come to Africa, buddy. I got something for you. I'll fix your wagon. Yeah, I got a couple of headhunters that would like to meet you. If you have your Bibles, again, turn to Psalms chapter 5, verses, the first three verses, and the Word of God says this: Give an ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditations. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we do come before you. And Father, I ask you now through your Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. Father, my word has nothing to say, but your word has everything to say. And Father, I ask you now through your Holy Spirit, speak to hearts, including mine. Let my words be your words, Holy Spirit filled, Father, tonight. I don't want my words, Father, I want your words. And Father, this is your word. And Father, I pray that you bind Satan and his demons. Put him down to the blood, Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear them. We want to hear from you. And Father, I pray now, if there's one soul tonight that does not know thee, that tonight would be the night of their salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read that again to you. So just read it again. Give an ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. The word meditation means thoughts. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. And in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. I'm titled this, Alone with God. Alone with God. Let me ask you a question. How much time do you spend alone with God? Don't answer it. Just think about it. How much time do you spend alone with God? In Matthew 6:6 it says this, But when thou prayest and enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. All Christians should pray. All Christians should pray, but few have a quiet time. When they can be alone with God. Do you have a quiet time? I hope you do. Christian, if you don't have a quiet time, you say, Pastor, I'm too busy. Well, you're too busy then. You need to get unbusy and get right with the Lord. And have a quiet time. God wants to hear from you. God wants to hear from you. When they can be alone with God and not only speak to him, but reverently, that word reverently means be respectful of who he is. Amen? Yes. Await his holy impressed upon their soul. All of us need a place for undisturbed private devotion in our lives. We need an undisturbed place where we alone get alone with God. I hear today, oh, Pastor, I have so much problems today. I can't seem to know what to do. I need the Christians coming to me. And I say, what are you doing? I have a first question. My first question is, how often are you alone with God? How much do you read his word? That tells me right off the bat, Pastor. They ain't reading their Bible. They ain't praying. Can I ask a question? When's the last time you even gave thanks for God for what he had done for you in the good times? In the good times. But most people don't think about God when there's a good time. They're only thinking about, oh, Lord, help me, please. When the bad times come. You know exactly what I'm saying. And I'm just as guilty as you are. When I point the finger, make sure 1, 2, 3 point back at me. We're all guilty in that. Amen? Would you say amen with me? Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure I'm on the right path here. Because I know I am. God wants time with you. You, his children. It leads me right into my first one. Number one, God wants to hear from all his children. He wants to hear from you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've trusted him, and you repented of your sins, and he saved you, amen, you're his children now, amen. You're not the child of the devil anymore. And quit acting like the child of the devil. Amen. When you're saved, amen. They know, they want to see the difference. They're tired of these mamby-pamby charlatans. If I could have my people here, man, they'd say, hey, if you're one of these charlatans, stay away. We don't want you. We're tired of people coming in and taking us to the cleaners and saying, so long. That's why I'm just starting to earn their trust. I can go to places where no other white preacher will go. Amen. And I can walk right in there with God's power, knowing God's on my side, knowing God's protecting me, and not be afraid and walk right up to them and say, how you doing there, buddy? And they'll go, who are you? Oh, yeah. Pull out a track. My name's Pastor Tom Denias. I'm from Bible Baptist Church. And show them the time and where we meet and everything and tell them the time. And by the way, there's my number. If you need help, call me. And I said, oh, by the way, I got a question. Don't be afraid. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Or do you have some doubt? And then watch them go, well, I don't know. Most of the time, if they're real honest, they don't know. And then you get to sit down and lead him to Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, I've done that many, 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 many times. I'll tell you this one, and this is true. His name was Calvin. I've never seen him hide no hair since I was up in Rocky Crest. You wouldn't know where that was anyhow. But that was the name of the little suburb that I was in. And oh, I could see this guy coming down the road. As he was coming over the little hill, I says, he's getting bigger, bigger. Oh, my. Never seen a great big African as tall and as huge as he was. He looked like Goliath, and I looked like, oh, my, Lord, what do I do? God says, go talk to him. Me? Yeah. Okay. I went up there, and I says, how you do? My name's Pastor Tom Denias. I'm from Bible Baptist Church, and gave him all that. And he says, hi, my name is Calvin. Who are you? Larry, I'm taller than you. You look like a fly. He'd look at you. Oh, you. Ah, this guy's big. This guy's big. I've never seen a groom that big there. Anyhow. I said, Calvin, if you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? I don't know. Never thought of it. Well, you give me a few minutes of your time? Why, sure. I want to know. And of course, he leans down like this because I'm leaning up like that. Within 10, 15 minutes, I led that Calvin to the Lord.
Amen.
Found out he was Catholic. Told me later he was from the Catholic Church. And I said, that's okay. You don't want to offend them. And by the way, even if they go to another church, don't offend their church. Amen. Amen. Come on, you soul winner. Stop it. You can be nice because they need to hear God's word too. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm tired of these preachers that say, hey, you need to shame them to get them right with God. You don't shame them if they come to another church. Amen? You don't do that. And I never have and I never will. And I say, church is a pretty good place. I says, well, amen. Church is a pretty good place, don't you think? He says, yeah. And then I led right into the plan of salvation. You know, he got saved. Amen. I've never seen hide nor hair of that man again. But God says, that's the man I want you to talk to. And I don't care how big, ugly, or stupid he looks, which they aren't. I tell you, they're just as smart as you are.
Right.
They love the Lord too.
Amen.
They might be different color than you, than me. I look at you right now and says, man, what a full of white people. You got to remember where I just came from. Several weeks ago, I was standing in the store. It was just a couple of weeks ago. I was standing in the store downtown in Querétaro, where no white man should ever be. And there I am in the middle of the store. And I'm the only white person amongst everybody else is looking at me, and I'm smiling. How you doing? How you doing? And I was not one bit scared. I was not scared. And I waited my turn. I was courteous to the people and everything. And they all looked at me and smiled and said, yeah. Some of them even knew me. Some said, hey, Pastor, how you doing? And some people would say, well, I hear you. And one guy come up to me later and says, I know you're a pastor. I said, yeah. I said, I hear people talk about you. And I said, I hope it's not too bad. And he goes, oh, no, it's good. But they're starting to get used to seeing my face there. And like I say, I go to places that even the national pastors wouldn't even go. And I says, why are you so scared to go to your people? They need you. I had one pastor tell me, he says, why are you here? We got more churches than enough. And I look at him, I says, you got a lot of churches here, right? Well, why would God, think a minute, why would God send me here if you're doing the work you're supposed to be doing? I said, there's something wrong, and you better find out yourself, sir. Amen. And I'm not trying to be unkind, and I try to be as hospitable to all the other pastors. I got several pastor friends there, national pastors, and they like what I'm doing. But there's, pastor, believe it or not, there's some pastors so jealous of what I'm doing. And I don't know why. And I say I don't know why, but another reason They see God working through my church, my little church. Amen. And then, praise God, hallelujah. I can say amen to that. God wants to hear from his children. I'm constantly on my knees, ladies and gentlemen. I'm constantly on my knees and asking God to help me. This past year when Margo's gone, it's been quite a hard time because the devil has just come pounding at me in many different ways you don't know about. And I says, no, no, no. I want you young, you that are married, I don't care how many years you've been married, you better thank God for that lovely wife and that lovely husband you have. Larry, there's an exception to your rule. Well, anyhow. But seriously, all kidding aside, God has literally took me to the woodshed. And I won't tell you why. I already told a couple people why, but it literally took me to the woodshed. And it also taught me many things that I need to know. Otherwise, Margo had to leave so he could teach me. Amen. Because there's things I was leaving in Margo's that really didn't belong to Margo. I needed to do them. And I didn't think I could do them. And God says, yes, you can. With my help, you can. And sir, don't be putting any more pressure on your wife that is required. When you know it's your responsibility. By the way, you're the head of the house, and you're going to answer what goes on in your house. You will. Dad's not going to talk to her. God's going to talk to you. Don't think you're going to pass the buck. You're not. Don't think you're going to pass the buck. You ain't. But when we do, want to call on, God wants to hear from us no matter what. No matter if we've done wrong in our lives. God wants to hear from. I am tired of Christians running away when they've done wrong. Instead of running, Father, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I goofed up. I really messed up. I need your help here. 1 John 1:9 was not written to a lost person. It was written to a saved person. Amen. If we confess our sin, who's we? That's us. Confess our sin. He's faithful. Who's he? Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's written to a believer. If you read what John's talking to, he's talking to the believers, the church. Amen. God wants us to call on him, to tell him what is bothering us, and to share with him what is good in our life. He wants to hear your private business with him. You can take it to him. I promise you, he won't blab it to anybody else. You that have been parents, and you know what I'm talking about when a little one comes crying for help. What would you do? He'd say, well, get away from me. No. You pick up that little one, amen? And you would hold him. Say, what's wrong? What's wrong? And then listen to the little one, if he hurt himself or, you know, what the situation is. Well, that's how God wants you to come to him. As a little child, you're a child of God. Men, get off your pride horses. I can say that because I get pretty prideful myself at times. Sorry to say it, admit it, but that's true. And if I do, so do you. So get off that pride horse and get on your knees. And ladies, You too. I love you, but we all have pride. But us men are the big culprits when it comes to pride. We want to bust out our chest. Man, I did that. I did this. I did that. No. God allowed you to do that through his help. Amen.
Amen.
That's the difference. Number two I have here. And I won't be long, won't. God wants your complete attention when you go to him.
Amen.
He wants your complete attention. He don't want you half-heartedly to come to him. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much. I want you, blah, blah, blah. Thank you, amen. I'm sorry to say, I think that's in today's Christian realm, that's a lot of things are going like that, Pastor, and I'm sorry. It's not right. God says, no, I want your complete attention. Not only are you talking to me, I want you to shut up and I want you to listen to me. When my dad was taking care of me and telling me and making sure I pay attention and everything, he says, are you hearing me? You better pay attention so I can get this, so you can get this straight. How many's had a father that did that? Oh yeah. The rest of you are lying to me. So, but seriously, I had a dad says, you got it right? You got it? Okay, I want your complete attention while I tell you this. That's how God wants. That's what he wants. That's what he wants.
Amen.
He wants to hear your complete. Not only does he want you to come to him, he wants your complete attention. When he's not only when you're talking to him, but when he's talking to you. Mm-hmm. I can't express enough on prayer. Can't express enough on prayer. That's our life source. Not only God's word is to show us the way, but we need prayer, communication with him in prayer. Amen. Where do I get my orders? I get them from headquarters. How do I do that? I got to be on my knees. I had no idea what message I was going to give you. So I got on my knees and said, Lord, what message do you want me to bring? God says, I want you to bring this. My people need to be alone with me. And then I knew right then what he wanted. And God gave me the message. Well, I don't like that message. Too bad. Talk to him. Because you're going to get it anyhow.
Amen.
I had one man call me a false liar, a false teacher. A false pastor over there. And I told his son, he says, you better watch out. You don't mess with God's anointed.
Right.
And he thought he was going to do this and that. And guess what? God almost killed him. But spared him. I asked him to. Spare him, Lord. Spare him. The three people, he was in an accident. The three people next to him were killed. But he miraculously was spared with a couple broken legs and an arm. And I told him, I says, I'm sorry. I am not a charlatan. I'm not a false preacher. I'm the real McCoy. I know I don't look like much, but that's okay. I give my very best what God has given me to do.
Amen.
I am not Pastor Rogers. He's not me. I'm not a Larry Johns. I'm me. I love Tom Williams. He's my dearest friend. Tom Williams, pray for me. We're buddies all the way. Let me tell you, I love Dr. Tom Williams, and he knows it. And I call him from time to time just to get advice on him from time to time. I've known him for years. But I'm not a Tom Williams. Tom Williams is Tom Williams. I'm Tom Denias. God wants our complete contention. He wants us to come to him without any worldly distractions that might upset us. Talking to him. God, when you go to him, you try to, if you can, block out. Ask God to help you to block out while you can tune in with him. Amen. Eventually, as you're praying, you say, but maybe it's that some of the problems, Pastor. Yeah, well, God will bring it around to you. But God wants to hear your praise. He wants you to praise him for who he is. What's the matter with praising first? I'll tell you what most of them do. Immediately they go to God. Oh God, please help me. Please help me. Help me with this, and this. And then amen. Walk away. I don't do that. How about singing a song to glorify his name? Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. And sing it. Amen? God wants to hear the praises. Why don't you start giving praises and glory to God? You know, after a bit, I have God say, my son, what do you want? And then presume to go on in. There's three things that God will do. Number one, he'll say yes. Number two, he'll say no. And number three, wait a while. Correct? Correct. If he says no, then say he knows more than we ever will know. Maybe that thing might hurt you down the road. And he says no. I don't want you to have it. But if he says yes, amen. Everyone wants to hear yes. But if he says wait a while, not right now. Doesn't mean he won't get it later, but maybe not right now. And I've had to wait for this land. But at the same time, I kept praying to God, God, in your time, in your way, show us the one you want us to have, to really put where you want it to be, where we could be useful in that area. And God has shown us the area he wants us in. He's showing us the place. We had our people go out and look at the land. And they all agreed, this is the place that God wants it. I had my people praying. I even had them fast. So we could, together, we knew it was God giving it to us and telling us, this is it. I knew the moment when I walked in there, God said, you like this place, Tom? I go, oh, yeah. God says, okay, that's all he said. That's all he said. The rest is history. Church voted on, that's the piece of land they wanted. Says, now we go to prayer. We had so much here. I says, God, you've got to bring in the rest. And God brung in the rest. God brung in the rest. And it's all paid for. We get the deed in a couple of weeks. One of my fellow men are going down to pick it up. Hallelujah! Victory! Part one. There are other parts to come next. Next is for the buildings. And the plans are already, we actually made out the plans for the land even before we had the land. We knew that was what God wanted us to have. That's faith, brother. Don't tell me it ain't. And we did it. God says it's yours. That's why God, when I tell our people we have God's complete attention when we go to him. When I go to him, I want my complete attention on him so he can tell me what's going on. Amen. So I know what to do. Hey, I can get lost. The devil could out take and deceive too. Amen. I'm sorry to say, some of us are being deceived and don't even know it sometimes. And when we go down the wrong trail, then we have problems. Then we can't figure out, that's the way we're supposed to do it. Really? Did God give you the okay? Or did you just decide in your own mind that that's what you were going to do regardless? I'll tell you, this is what a lot of Christians do. They have their life all filled out, and they want to take it up and say, stamp it, God. And God says, uh-uh. And then we get mad because he won't put a stamp on it. Don't do that. If God says no, I'm not stamping my approval on it. Now, it's very rare that he does do that. Because once in a great while, he'll do that, if that's what he wants. But if God doesn't want that, God will say, no. And most of the time it will be no. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? My life. I worked over 20-some years in a chemical factory job. And Craig Pearson, you know that's the truth. Amen? Every day I went in and I gave God my best. I gave God my best. And I thought I was going to be a lifer in that place. I was got to talking to Craig. I said, how many years have you been there? And he told me. I said, well, then I'd be about 40 years then if I was still there. But beside the point, that's beside the point. I gave God my very best at that job. And I figured I was that close to paying off my house. And I had a nice house, by the way. Some of you know where I lived. Amen. It was a very nice house, wasn't it, Larry?
Yes, sir.
And I was that close to paying it off, and I was going to put into my children's college education. And I was ready. I was right on track to retire at age 55. What did I just turn? 59? Wow! That old? Just talk to Larry Johns and see how old he is. Everybody's laughing. Wow. Boy, God shot holes in that one, didn't he? Everybody says, when do you plan to retire? When God calls me home.
Amen. That's right.
Unless he says otherwise. But it has to be his okay, his stamp of approval on it,
amen,
not mine. I was asked a question in a questionnaire. Sometimes we get these dumb questionnaires from pastors.
Yep.
I mean, some of them don't even relate to anything.
That's right. Amen.
Now I ask the questionnaires if they're okay questionnaires, but when they're way out of the line, it's ridiculous. But anyhow, don't worry, Pastor, you're safe. The one questionnaire asked, do you plan to die in Africa and be buried there, or do you expect to come home and die? Well, how in the world am I supposed to know that question? How would you answer that one? That's not a questionnaire. I really didn't answer the question. I just said, what I should have put down, God only knows. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God only knows. Like I said, not only does God want to hear from his children, he wants our complete attention. And the third and final one I have tonight, God wants to help his children. He wants to help you. He won't leave you out in the dark. I'm sick and tired of Christians. I'm afraid God's going to put me way over here and I won't know what to do. Have you had that? Oh, I have. Christians are poor people. I was witnessing my prayers. He says, I don't want to work for God. I don't even want to be one of his children. They're poor. I says, what are you calling poor? Well, they don't have any money. They don't have the good things that the world has.
Praise the Lord.
There you are. I said that under my breath, praise the Lord. I says, but oh, you don't understand.
That's right.
You don't have a clue at what you're talking about. I'm telling you, since I've given over to the Lord, and I enjoyed the years that I was with the company that I was with, God has much better, how can I put it, rewards than any company, GM, or anybody could ever come up with. I have a retirement that is out of this world.
Amen.
That all the companies put together with all their monies put together could not equal.
Amen.
And I've built friendships that you wouldn't even believe over there. I have these two young ladies. They're like daughters to us over there. They said, Pastor, they've grown up now and they've gone back to Angola where they said, Pastor, if you and Miss Margot, if nobody wants you in America and they don't want you anymore, you just call us. We'll send you a ticket. You come over to Angola and we'll take care of you the rest of your life. I heard that. I about cried. GM, you don't got nothing near, is what I just heard.
Amen.
And I'm not against retirement, okay? Amen. I'm not against you guys. If God allows you to retire, amen, hallelujah. But I think if you're a retirement person, and if you're a Christian, I think you should go on and live for the Lord and be out telling others about Christ. I want to tell you this. This is true, and this is true. This was a couple of years back. It was raining. I was walking out, locking up the gate for the night, and as I walk back, God says, Tom, I said, yes, sir. He says, tell the people I'm coming soon. Tell the people I'm coming soon. He's coming!
Amen.
He's coming! I'm telling you what I told him. He told me, Jesus Christ is coming. Christian, quit getting asleep. Get off your stuff. Get out there and tell others about Christ. Amen. He's coming very soon, sooner than you realize. You say, well, I heard that since way back then. Yeah, well, way back then is gone. We're way up here. We're down to the end of the church age. We're right there. The rapture is, you know what the next part is? The rapture of the church. You have lost loved ones, you better tell them about Jesus Christ. He could come right now, before I finish this message. We could all be home in heaven. My question is, are you ready? Are you one of his? Or are you a pretender? Look good on the outside, but on the inside, you know if you die today, you don't know where you're going. Peter, do you? Yes. I'm not afraid of death. I want to die right for the Lord.
Amen.
Did you catch that?
Yes, sir.
I'm not afraid of death. If someone will come in here, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. I can say that with full conscience. Abba, thank you. I love you. It's all because of him. It's nothing what I did. It's all because of him. I just want to say this. You know, I hear a lot of preachers say, God needs you. God needs you. God needs you. No, God don't need you.
That's right.
God wants to use you.
Amen.
There's a difference.
Yes.
Amen.
God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need you as a person. God wants to use you. He wants to He wants you to glorify him so he can work miraculously through you to show the world, hey, you're something different about you. Hey, I got a living God. I don't have a dead God. In the last days, Satan and his team are going to rise up. They're going to look good. They're going to deceive and deceive the very, if it could be, deceive the very elect and fool some of the Christians. Better be careful. You say, Pastor, what do you tell your people? Read the Bible. Read his word. Know the difference between a true believer and a charlatan. It's in there. My Bible says try and test the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
See if they have God or not. It's in the Bible. And I'm teaching my people Another guy spotlighted. I'll never forget, my one young man came up to me and said, "Pastor, I had a Jehovah's Witness come to my door." I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah. Did you let him in?" "No." "Good." "Did he talk to you?" He says, "Yeah." "Did you talk to him?" "Oh, yeah." "What did he do?" "He kind of turned around and ran away." See, the devil can't stand the truth. And when you talk to the truth, his people, those that he's using to deceive, can't stand the truth, and they can't fight against it. Amen. They'll run. Resist the devil and he'll what?
Flee.
And that's including his people. One of my young ladies were at the university, and one guy was trying to give all this spew about this and that of his church and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And he come up and says, "Come to my church. I'll show you the way." She says, "Well, I already know the way." "Oh, no, no, no. Not the way I'm going to show you." She says, "Oh, I know the way." And she quoted him John 14:6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I mean, she quoted him other verses too. And that man, you know what he said to her? "Gee, you know your Bible. Bye." Walked away. But how many has he fooled? She'd come up to me and says, "Pastor, thank you for teaching the Bible."
Amen.
"And thank you, Pastor, for teaching other people here the Bible." You ought to know when they come to your door, when they come knocking on your door. My Bible says give an answer to every man, but give them the truth. There's a difference. The truth will up. Set you free. And I love that. I love that. My people, when I left them, they didn't want me to leave. "Pastor, we just want you to go get Miss Margo and bring her back." That dear wife of mine, I miss her. They said, "We miss her." I says, "You miss her. I miss her." I put on here, the Lord wants to help us, but he wants us to come and ask him. That is why he will not give it to us if we don't ask for it first. And some, like I said, it's not always no, and it's not always wait a while. Sometimes it's yes. Ooh, when he says yes, it's wonderful.
Amen.
I have a little saying down here. I put down, a lot of kneeling keeps you in good standing with God. Did you catch that? A lot of kneeling keeps you in good standing with God. How much time do you spend with God? How much kneeling do you do? Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I wonder if there's one here who would say, "Pastor, I'm not 100% sure if I die today I go to heaven. And I want somebody to show me from the Bible how I can know for sure." With head bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there's one here who would say, "I've never trusted Jesus Christ. I've heard about it, but I've never truly taken him as my Savior." And by an uplift of the hand, you say, "Please pray for me." Would there be someone like that? How about you, my Christian friend? How much kneeling do you do? How much time do you give to the Lord? You say, "Pastor, by an uplift of the hand, pray for me. I need to do more kneeling and talking to the Lord." Yes, I see that hand. Yes, yes, yes. Many hands. Father, we thank you for this time. And Father, I thank you for those hands, Lord. Even I put my hand up, Lord, because I need to do even more. Father, I pray for this great church and these great people that are here. And Father, those that raised their hand, Lord, and even those that didn't raise their hand for maybe one reason or another. But Father, I pray that you'd help them to make the right decisions. With your head bowed and eyes closed, Pastor, would you come, please?